like whatever, like medium grades, but he would say he deserved more credit because he didn't come to class and he didn't study until the night before. And he's like, well, the distance I traveled in this time deserves a award. I'm like, no, that's not the point. And that's how I feel about
And
youth
that man
celebrating.
is Elon Musk.
You know how to tell a story. I don't, Izzy. Thank you.
By
Yeah, you
the
had to end
way,
it with a big shocker.
Izzy, as Elon Musk being shirtless on a yacht is concerned,
Yikes.
he looks weird, right? Like, I'm not one to talk. I'm not taking my shirt off on this show as much as people have been
I
asking me
think
to.
he looks like a dude.
Nah,
It
I
looks
just feel
like all
like
his
he's got.
organs are just kind of put together and like held on a top shelf. And so everything's just a little different. Either that or I saw a drawing of it. It was like Tesla, but it's a Tesla, but it said torso, and it was just a little man in there operating.
Yes, it's
Yeah,
like
if you
if
haven't seen that one.
Dominique, you remember Ninja Turtles?
Krang? I knew you were gonna say
Krang.
Krang. Oh, I
It's like
love
if
Krang.
Krang was just in his chest as opposed to in his stomach, and just
Yeah.
like why you got all that Krang in you, bro? What's up with all that
Isn't
Krang in your plexus?
presented by Corona? Isn't
Presented by Corona.
that what Iron Man is essentially? It's
Wow.
like the power is in his chest, that Krang. I guess it doesn't think for him though, because Krang, would that did that robot that robot that Krang operated was a robot, right? It didn't have its own mind. If
Way
Krang,
too much
well,
Krang talk to start the show. Way too
no,
much
that's a good
Krang
Krang
question.
wasn't in it. It could still move, that big baby.
That's a good question. I'm Googling, was the
Well, while
guy
you look it
that
up, I
Krang
will
was
give us a
operating
transition.
actually a
From the
guy or
brain
a
of
robot?
Krang, let's go to the brains of the 76ers. I don't know. Read us something, cellophane.
The brain of James. And
Wow.
we okay that's a I mean I tried to save it.
I loved it. Good work. I
Thank
didn't
you.
hear
Thank
what
you
you
very
said,
much.
honestly. It sounded like I heard James, but I also feel like it's something that you probably shouldn't repeat. So let's go to the menu.
Let's go to the menu. We're going to start with James Harden, who signed his new deal. 2 years, almost $69 million, and an option for the second year. So what does this mean for the Sixers and for Harden going forward?
So it was a robot. It was a robot body.
Yeah.
Dominique was right. So what does James Harden's new deal mean for the husk of a corpse that he is now operating from the inside?
The barrel-chested James Harden.
He is barrel-chested.
Yeah, I missed that was the segue. There it is.
That's
There
never a
it is.
compliment,
We were
by the
talking
way.
about Elon this whole time. Yeah, that's the thing about being a barrel chest, right? Like, you
People
don't really
say it
need all
like
that.
it's. I don't know. I feel like people throw it out there like it's a nice thing to say, but I don't know. I've never seen a barrel-chested person and said, sexy.
Damn, that looked like a chest that could be thrown by an
Or,
angry gorilla in a
I've
video
never,
game.
It
yeah, I've
feels
never
like
seen
there's
a
a heart
barrel.
in there doing way too much work, is what it
Yeah.
feels like. It's like
So,
hourglass is one thing, V shape is another thing, but like I've never
right.
seen a sexy barrel. I've seen lots of sexy Vs, lots
Those
of sexy
those
hourglasses. Coke
deangeloids.
bottles?
The
Oh,
deangeloids,
yeah.
though, that
Yeah.
V, those like
I am going
those.
to try to recreate a lot of like famous vacation photos when I go on vacation in a few
Nice.
weeks.
That's a good idea.
The Cliff Kingsbury's on one of them. The Elon Musk is another one. So if there's anybody else that's famous or infamous vacation pictures from this year,
I love
I
that
will try to recreate the
you give
photos.
yourself like a scavenger homework on vacation. That's so great. That is someone without children, obviously, because you're like,
really
vacation
is.
is too relaxing. Let me give myself some goals.
But I also feel like you could also recreate some of what James Harden has been doing this offseason, Izzy, because he's showing up in these photos. He's arm in arm with Michael Rubin, the minority owner, former minority owner of the Sixers, who's not actually a minority. He is hanging out with PJ Tucker, who they now can afford. Mr. Cellophane, I believe you wanted us to get to this part of the story. They can afford PJ Tucker now. They can afford Daniel House because
Right.
James Harden has taken a pay cut of what is it now? We're saying 15 or so. It was 47 million originally,
It's
was the
down to
player option,
33.
down to 33. And
Yeah.
so this is a real thing. This is the
I
real
mean,
Dominique. It's the thing.
you left off De'Anthony Melton also as
Oh,
the key acquisitions.
shout out to
True.
De'Anthony
Yeah.
Melton. But I was going to say that this is the sort of thing that, as a union guy, I find fascinating because this makes such a big difference, the voluntary pay cut. But it's also a thing that we don't really see that often. Except in special cases for reasons that I'm sure you feel strongly about.
Yeah, I
Udonis
mean,
Haslem did it often.
Yes. So first, I feel like we should address the first thing is like people dismissing these signings, which I think was like implied in your inflection, is that these things don't matter. But it seems like players like that do actually matter a lot when you get deep into playoffs. So like having those guys who can give you some like roster flexibility, they may not play 30 minutes every night, but one game you're going to need them to step up and play 30 minutes. So I don't know if those are the guys that can do it, but it felt like they didn't have any of those guys on the rosters last year, especially after the trade. So having them back matters.
But if you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan, are you convincing yourself that James Harden is taking less money because, as he says, he wasn't right last year and he's going to be better next year and just wants to win, and that he's taking a pay cut for PJ Tucker and Daniel House when James Harden was younger and better, he played with a younger and better PJ Tucker, and he played with Daniel House already. Like, we know what this looks like. And so they're not the difference. Joel Embiid is the difference. And so it's just this whole idea of James basically saying, hey, I'm taking the pay cut. I'm taking the sacrifice. I'm going to say I'm going to be better, but if I'm not, it's probably not my fault. And you can't really blame me because I took the pay cut here to make us better. So this is sort of a situation where he's telling, like, it used to be where guys in this situation would say, I don't need the PJ Tuckers and Daniel Houses of the world. Pay me, I'm worth it. I think this comes not just with, hey, I'm a really nice guy and want to win, but a little bit of, hey, I'm a little bit more aware of my, not just my sort of limitations, but my role in this particular offense.
That to me, like, it feels like, honestly, if you look at what is more likely happening, it should make Sixers fans both happy and sad. Because I do think the idea that he was willing to take less for this one season should make Sixers fans happy, because you are able to sign more players. But it should make them a little sad because the next year, the following year, is a player option. And if James Harden is as good as Sixers fans want him to be, and as good as he says he can be after he is completely right and he's not learning on the fly like he said before, then he's going to decline that player option, and y'all going to get bust for that max deal anyway. And I guess at that point, had you won a championship or not, are you going to think that it's worth it? So I don't know. It's a tough spot to be in, because if he plays all of next season the way that he ended last season, then you want him to decline the player option, but he's going to pick it up. So I don't know. It feels like they're gearing up for a big one-year charge, and then they're going to figure it out next year, which honestly more teams should do.
Yeah, no, I think
and
this
Pablo,
is...
I don't recall him not being right, do you?
Well, he said he wasn't right.
Like,
the words that he used. He said I wasn't right.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't recall that. I just recall him being out of system.
What I recall very acutely is him being so bad that the question arrived, is he right?
But he
is
put
is
out
he hurt,
there
right?
That I was wasn't the... right. So, like, right. To me, the tough thing about that is we don't want him to say, no one really wants you to say, I'm not right at the moment while you're playing. We bash those guys. That's for everyone else to
also
say.
Also correct.
So he didn't then, and he is now. Does it make it any better or worse? Like, I kind of believe him. I don't think he just got that bad that fast.
I think he was still recovering from his leg injuries. I do think there is some part of that that is true. I think the question is really, like, how much of that makes you sympathetic, right? How many other guys are going through it? But that's a question of, like, again, fake alpha toughness more than it is, like, the basketball, I think, reality of it. I think this is a brilliant thing, though, in the end. Like, where we arrive with all of this is that James Harden realized he's at rock bottom in terms of public perception, right? The Sixers are not at rock bottom, but really needed somebody to throw them a parachute. And the parachute happened to be $15 million from James Harden's contract. And so this is a win-win scenario for a guy who needs a PR win and a team that actually just needs cap space. And again, to Dominique's point, like, yeah, these are not starters, right? I don't think PJ Tucker's going to start for the Sixers, but he is going to be a guy that they can use in a playoff series. And Daniel House is a guy who can be in the rotation, as is D'Anthony Melton, a backup point guard. So I think this is all very smart. The question really then is, like, do you really buy that James Harden is going to be a different guy? Is he going to be a different player now?
The more I sort of see James Harden's existence, the more I just wish I just would have been a really good friend of his, because he loves to give them expensive gifts, and that includes the Sixers with this $15 million gift that he gave them. But
all these gifts.
So if if we're saying that he is not right, like, okay, so it was not right last year, then what does a right version of him look like next to Joel Embiid? Because it's not like explosiveness. I mean, I guess once he was getting to the rim, explosiveness was missing, but it really wasn't the strength of his game to begin with. And so what does he look like? He probably just looks like a guy who takes more shots confidently. But in terms of, you know, the offense, the way it, you know, the way he orchestrates it, the way he, you know, sort of manipulates his way through it, I don't know if that's going to, you know, where it's sort of like a Kobe in the triangle figure something out thing where he can sort of get his 30 while still letting Joel Embiid get his. I don't know if that exists. So I don't know what it's going to look like if he's right necessarily.
I got an analogy alert coming your way. So this morning I was confronted, you know how your phone shows you old pictures of you sometimes. I was confronted by a picture of myself back when I was still playing. And this reminds me of the James Harden situation. When you said he gives expensive gifts, like I give my wife some expensive gifts sometimes, but I bet she just looks at those pictures and like, you can keep that diamond. I want that guy back. And I feel like that's how the 76ers must feel. It's like, no, don't buy me a fancy diamond. I want that guy back.
So it's such a good point, Dominique. Like, the thing that everybody who has any stake in the Sixers wants more than anything is for James Harden to just be worth the full-on max contract.
I had walk-around like, abs. Like, rock hard, just not
yeah,
even flexing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. I mean, in the just pecs, I think walk the around differential. So abs. The differential between, because that's an underrated portion of how good your abs look, is like the shadow cast on them by your pecs. And that makes the abs look even better.
Yeah, I know exactly what you guys are talking about.
I think that
just the right lean.
I think, yeah. Can't relate. It was just like a picture. It's not a flex. It's just walking around. Just like, I would have to work out for 2 years and also still like flex and starve myself for a week to look like I looked when I was just walking around. And
I find it's right here. The shoulders shows the commitment. Like the old shoulders really show the commitment.
There's a trick though. You just got to go, instead of taking your shirt all the way off, you just pull it up and go over for that one.
Gotcha.
That's the trick. There is, I mean.
Wait, you cornholio yourself?
No, it's like a bra
for the shoulders.
No, yeah, if you pull it all the way over,
it just
you never
covers
seen that
them.
Before? Like you take your head out of the shirt.
I know what you guys are talking about.
And then you just got the. Anyway.
Me and Mr. Cellophane know exactly what you're talking about when you talk about your
pecs casting
a shadow over your,
is he gonna
over
do it for
your
us?
Abs, don't you, Mr. Cellophane?
I don't even know how I would be able to do that with the way the camera is set up here, so I'm going to ignore that and ask a question about the 76ers.
Asking you to put it, never mind.
But what's your question, Mr. Cellophane?
Yes, so the Sixers finished fourth in the East last year, you know, behind the Celtics and the Bucks and the Heat. Do these moves move the needle enough to put them ahead of any of those teams, or at least the same level as any of those teams?
I think the Sixers can easily make a conference finals. I think they can. Granted, they have not done this yet, but I think they can. And I want to also laugh, now that you remind me, that the Heat were above them, and the Heat just lost P.J. Tucker. Izzy, man, P.J. Tucker felt real Heat culture-y for a while, and now he's James Harden culture. So how do you feel
about
that?
He did. Here's a few ways I feel about that. I feel like the sort of the stretch four who can defend, I think, is replaceable. I think P.J. was a great fit, but, you know, at 30, it's going to be 40 at the end of that deal. Yeah, you got to be smart about this. I don't think that James Harden is going to, like, again, he's going to look back and say, okay, so I took a pay cut for 37-year-old P.J. Tucker and Daniel House. It doesn't really make me feel good. It's kind of like, you know, what you kept giving LeBron James toward the end of his days in Cleveland. It just doesn't feel like it's going to be enough. And so the main thing to me is, I don't know which team Kevin Durant's playing on next year, so it's hard for me to judge what the East is going to look like. Yeah, the Sixers should be a contender for top two in the East, but they could just as easily be a top four and be the same second round out and out team.
Yeah, I think the P.J. Tucker to the Heat thing, it feels like the idea that he is Heat culture-y to me seems like redundant. His presence would feel redundant. There are teams that bring in P.J. Tucker solely for his, like, toughness. Like, the Heat don't need that. You got Jimmy Butler. You got Udonis Haslam. Like, Tyler Hero brings some of that attitude. Bam, not so much. But in general, like, the Heat have plenty of that. 76ers, on the other hand, seems like a toughness upgrade to go from Ben Simmons to P.J. Tucker on the roster. So I think they could benefit from whatever it is that P.J. Tucker brings, because you don't really fight in the NBA. What is this value to, like, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time figuring out how it translates on the floor, but I know some guys got it. Like Draymond, clearly his attitude, I guess maybe it's just it permeates your team, is that level of intensity.
I feel like it's also like the theater of intensity too, to be honest.
Right, which matters.
Fans. It matters in Philly, to be very clear. Like, as much as I make fun of Heat culture, Philly loves nothing more than a press conference where a guy talks about how much he wants to bleed for you. Right, like that's I put on my hard hat and my lunch pail, and I let you climb into my robot body, and I just punch the shit out of people. Like that's the dream for a Philly player.
I respect that about Miami, their fans and their team, is they don't do that foolishness that all other players do. It's like, man, I'm just like the fans of this city. I'm a hard working blue collar. Like, I feel like a lot of people in Philly are like, yeah, I like PJ Tucker. Because he's like me, put on his hard hat and his $3,000 shoes and goes to work every day. But in Miami,
and go to that all-white party in the Hamptons with James Harden.
One of his $3,000 shoes, because he's got like 100 of them.
Exactly.
And and he just came from Miami, you know, that really hard-working city of Miami.
Yeah, but I like the Miami.
Miami fans, at the very least, don't pretend, Dominique. They don't pretend to be tough themselves.
Or they also don't pretend that the team is like some manifestation of their city in the same way these other places. Like, no, we got some guys here who work really hard and do the little things. We don't do that, but that's all right. We don't have to. They do it. And it feels like in other places, they just like attach themselves to these guys who just signed. Like, no, this is our guy. He's just like us. When in actuality, there is nothing they have in common with you, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing that I get annoyed by, where like people in the middle of the country say, man, it's the hardest working place ever. Whereas like, no.
We just embrace everything. Embrace Tyler Hero's tattoo. Does it look like us? Does it represent us? No, not really. But hey, can't hate on it. Gotta love it. No check.
Wow. By the way, do you guys know that? So I was doing more Krang research while you guys were talking. They never named him. The Krang robot was never named. He's just the Krang robot Krang body. It wasn't even, he's just like, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, do you have to name, well, you don't have a car, but like, you don't name like your oven, which is something that you use. That's a bad analogy, but you get the point.
I crawled inside of my oven and lived inside of it and
you
operated
would name it.
I would absolutely.
Hold on. So what's your condo's name? Oh man.
My mortgage, you mean? Like, what's my mortgage's name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Krang is just like a nerdy New York thing to reference. I feel like there was a reference on 30 Rock from Krang, and it was just mocked. Just stop talking about Krang, guys.
Please. How is Krang a nerdy New York? I'm not from New York.
Why are people anti-Krang?
Lots of reasons to be anti-Krang. Is a villain. Krang wasn't a good guy, and he wasn't even a fun bad guy like Rocksteady and Bebop. Krang, like Rocksteady and Bebop.
Oh, all right, you've got your villain segue to live. Let's go.
Okay.
Wow.
I hate to ruin the segue, but we have some surprise news from Kyler Murray, who just signed a 5-year, $230 million contract with the Cardinals, $160 million guaranteed. So what's your reaction?
Congratulations.
Wow. Is that I got to swallow my Bebop and Rocksteady racial analogy.
It's
that
really
I was gonna
bad.
Make.
It's really bad.
By the way, should Brian he should release all breaking news, announce all breaking news. It's just so calming in that voice. It's just, it could be terrible. It could be good news.
I know,
but hey, at least.
Can we just
Alabaster's voice game is on point today, I will say. I'm really appreciating it. I mean, not Alabaster, Mr. Cellophane. Apologies.
What Mr. Cellophane doesn't have, though, is the breaking news alert sound, which we usually play when we have breaking news. If you can spare it, us.
Yeah, it messes up his voice. His voice is smooth today. How? I don't know. You smoke a little before? What you got going on? You like a little bit? Don't answer that question. Today.
Just walking around on the sidewalk with his abs out, smoking something. Dominique, this is something that we made fun of once upon a time because we thought it would not happen, right? Kyler Murray was supposed to be very mad at the Cardinals. He was flirting with baseball. He was flirting with the Oakland Athletics. And
taking down IG posts, doing
exactly,
all that stuff.
Archiving, doing young people things that I don't really understand still. But now we have a five-year, $230 million contract, $160 guaranteed, right? That's the number we should care about. What does this say to you just on face value?
Yeah, that he deserves it. Like, I'm not surprised that it happened. I'm surprised that he took, or he went, I mean, not nuclear, but he went, like, aggressive earlier than he probably would have recommended. But from here on out, lesson learned. I will advise all players to go for the next as soon as possible, because the longer you wait, the longer it takes you to get paid. So it worked for him. He's a franchise quarterback. He's like MVP caliber talent. He hasn't been able to put it together consistently. So like this is a non-story to me because I thought it was going to happen eventually. I'm happy that it happened for him. I love when guys get paid. It makes me
so just happy. And scene. Like that's the off-season story of Kyler Murray.
Thank you.
But I do wonder though, the Deshaun Watson contract. Like, have we seen that seep into other quarterback contracts yet with all the guarantees? Because, I mean, it feels like that's what people bring up all the time with Lamar Jackson is, hey, you get paid that dude all that guaranteed money. What am I going to get? Does this change anything for you?
Well, this number that Mr. Cellophane helpfully puts down, right? Like, 5 years, 230 for Deshaun Watson, guaranteed. 5 years, 230 for Kyler Murray, as a result, does not seem coincidental, right? Speaking to the market being set. But the number of guaranteed dollars for Kyler being 160 speaks to, I think, the robbery that the Arizona Cardinals were avoiding in the way that Dominique may actually be not avoiding at the moment.
But yeah, cannot address it at the moment.
We're live, so if anything happens, guys, you can do nothing about it. I mean,
this is what happens when you
take the big candle.
The Deshaun Watson thing is different because he was like an unofficial free agent. Oh, they left. They got scared.
You know what it's like? It's like, Dominique, please name me. Why did you never name me?
Sorry, Crane. Deshaun Watson was like a free agent. So like he had the leverage to get this amount of guarantees that these other guys don't. So like, I think that's what it comes down to. So it hasn't, it'll never bleed into a quarterback in this situation. Like it won't impact them the way that you would want it to, or the way that they would want it to, because they will never hit true free agency. You see how much money Cousins gets when he gets to free agency. Like that's what it boils down to. As long as the players, because in order to get that, if they slid that deal across the table to Kyler Murray and he said no to it, and he's giving up 160 guaranteed and potentially. And to be honest with you, no quarterback really makes it to that last year of their deal anyway. So Deshaun Watson Correct. Is going to renegotiate before he gets to the end of that, assuming he doesn't do anything to land him in jail or anything like that, or he still stays there and he's healthy and he plays well. And the same is true of Kyler Murray. So I don't know. It's interesting. I like talking about the contract stuff, but in football, it matters.
I imagine that so they just looked at what Juan Soto turned down and said, what does it matter anyway? I'm never going to get to that number.
Yes. Oh, gosh. You better start a chain of something. I don't know.
But speaking of people being paid lots of money with vaguely problematic moral repercussions.
Oh, that's a hell of a segue.
That could be anything.
It's honestly an all-purpose segue. But specifically, Mr. Cellophane, what's next?
Yes, that was perfect. And Mike Florio wrote a piece asking whether there could be a football league similar to LIV Golf. And so we are asking, could you see a LIV Golf-style football league threatening the NFL?
Haven't we tried this? Like, the idea that LIV Golf is now a template for competitor, independent league popping up, like, no, show some respect, LIV Golf analogies, to the previous attempts that we've had to compete with the NFL. I mean, Dominique, you've seen this story play out time and time again in the course of your life as a fan and player.
Yep. I mean, we even during the lockout, early stage of lockout, we even considered ourselves propping up our own league. And it would never work for a number of reasons. One, because the NFL is so powerful. So, like, the money that you would need to finance a league like this would come from TV dollars. There is no TV partner out there that will carry your football game unless the NFL says it's okay. Because everyone either has NFL or wants NFL and would do nothing to piss off the NFL. So if you enter this environment as a clear competitor to the NFL, in the same way that LIV is a clear competitor to the PGA Tour, the NFL will stomp you out immediately. If you have the money, which they do have, I think it's $650 billion in the Sovereign Wealth Fund, the money to buy anything that you, $620 billion, excuse me, I got a little excited there, went a little high. If you have the money to buy the top players, it might work for golf, it might work for basketball, it might work for tennis, but football feels like one of those games, the only game where the logos on the side of the helmets actually do matter a lot more than the stars. It's like college sports in that, no, they are buying the history. And the way that PGA is trying to say that everyone is here for the history, maybe, but in the NFL, it really, really feels true that the history matters. So, and the last point I would throw in there for why I couldn't see this working is because it's not an international sport. And so, like, the international interest, I think, would be helpful for a league, a basketball league or a golf league to compete. That's another way to find revenue. Ain't nobody paying you big bucks in Europe to, like, play.
We've been trying to sell football games, the Jaguars to London for years.
It's just
practically giving away Blake Bortles. They don't want him.
Yeah. The only way, like, we see that XFL now is coming back, now being bought by The Rock and Danny Garcia, I think, is the
his partner.
And it was his ex-wife too, which I didn't realize. Yeah. Is a whole interesting. I was in a rabbit hole earlier today. But they have like a symbiotic relationship, I guess, with the NFL. So they might actually succeed. The rest of you leagues will think you're gonna compete with the NFL.
Well, here's the thing with the LIV. Obviously, like, the money being the biggest draw, $620 billion, like, that probably touches where you're going to have to start to pull the NFL away from its perch here. But the appeal being, A, like, first, who's the Jerry Maguire here? Like, who's the Greg Norman or Phil Mickelson that's going to go and say, all right, who's coming with me to the LIV football? Like, maybe Tom Brady, because he's at the back end, right? Of back end, you would assume. He might have another 20 years of his career and go out there. But what's, like, the rule enticement? What's the difference over there? Is it, like, more freedom on defense over there where you can really rip somebody's head off? Because I don't know if offensive players are going to be down with that. Or is it, like, less? Or is it, are we talking, like, we're playing, like, it's a Pro Bowl all of a sudden and, you know, just everybody running around with flags on and you might as well not put pads on? That doesn't seem like there's anything different you can do to change the game up to make it more enticing anywhere else.
No, but the other thing, too, right, the huge difference, and this is where this whole template of LIV for other sports breaks down, is because if you're a LIV golfer, you're still competing in the majors. Like, this would be like if you're part of a rival YFL, ZFL, whatever you want to call it, and you still get to, like, play in presumably the playoffs. You know, like, no one, the NFL in that way, like, this is where, I mean, what golf did in so many ways is they don't own the things. The PGA Tour does not own the things that people actually watch the most. And so they're leaning on a history that is not actually connected to any sort of moat or drawbridge that they can lift up to prevent you from going to do the things you wanted to do the whole time anyway.
I mean, the barrier to entry is in golf, I think, is different because the faces matter. The barrier to entry in football is so hard because the faces don't matter. You can buy one face. You can't, well, they could afford to buy the entire league, but the entire league is not for sale. So they're not going to be able to use this particular sport. I wouldn't imagine there's a way. Because if they could buy all the players away from the NFL, maybe we would watch that more.
You know, I would, let's stop being so pessimistic. I actually would just want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see an authoritarian government purchase the entirety of the NFL.
Just buy the players, though. You can't buy the NFL.
Yes,
You buy the union of players.
Right. Correct. You pay the NFL. Wow, now Dominique, we're getting somewhere. Pay the NFLPA $600 billion.
By the people. That's the way to go. I do have one rule change that I think would be interesting, since they're going to go on the villain theme over here. Like, what if you choose one offensive lineman as a saboteur, right? But he has to do it slyly. He has to do it slyly, because if nobody recognizes that he is, he wins an S ton of money. But if he goes by and nobody guesses, and somebody guesses, then
maybe
the quarterback wins a ton of money. I like that one.
I like that. And it's like at the end of
like
the game,
the
you get to guess who the mole was. And the best
part of that... Are you a bad offensive lineman, or are you trying to be bad?
That's the best part of it. The best part is, at the end of the game, somebody who just got worked having their coach say, "That's the mole."
Like, damn it, I'm not the mole.
No.
I just got a 67 rating.
Not the mole. I like adding this mole.
Actually. Yeah, I want...
Except
for
the fact that a quarterback might die as a result of it.
Well, there is.
That's so much money.
Mr. You still got an interjection up. You got more to say, sir?
I just to address a couple of points. One, the person who would go over, Aaron Rodgers probably more than Tom Brady would be
good
willing
point.
To maybe consider it.
You know what? Definitely the Pied Piper there.
And then another point about why players would potentially want to go over, if there's guaranteed contracts, or if you're a player coming out of college and the rookie pay scale is lower and they can give Bryce Young $100 million, maybe he goes over, takes the money, something like that is in theory.
I mean, that's the Herschel Walker USFL. Ooh, Herschel Walker, that's so much to talk about there. But like, that's a model. Like, I don't think it would be very difficult to get players to come play. Like, football players, you pay them enough, they'll do it. That wouldn't be the hard part. The hard part is getting the rest of us to care. So like, Bryce Young, we don't care. Like, I know we care now. We only care about him to the fact that it impacts our Saturday watching and projecting how it's going to impact our Sunday watching. Take him.
And then you don't know what they're going to do with their big game, what they're going to call it, how they're going to number it. Are they going to use Roman numerals? Is it going to get very confusing with LIV going into Roman numerals? That's what happens?
Live
Bowl 54 is just going to look weird.
No, but Izzy, I will say that Super Bowl sounds like the name of a thing that you would like come up with in a movie where you had no rights to like trademarks. It's like a very uncreative, stupid name. Super Bowl, good one.
Fantastic Bowl is what that's gonna be there. That it's gonna work just as good.
I wanna look up like the trends around the word super, because like in the 60s when the Super Bowl first came up, was super like, was it really popping word, or did they propel super into the stratosphere?
The Uber Bowl.
Yeah, because I feel like if we started Super Bowl today, it would be called something like that, like the Uber Bowl, or something that is more in the zeitgeist as a
mega
name for something
bowl.
Big.
The Mega Bowl, yeah.
Nah, Mega's early 90s. That's like
Mega Man.
Like, yeah, that's I think a Mega Man early 90s. But I will be doing that. That's more research for me. Figure out how popular the word super was in, what was it, 63? Was that the first Super Bowl? 60-something?
60-something, right?
Yeah,
merger, post-merger, right. By the way, tie up a couple loose ends here, Herschel Walker's the mole. Just FYI. Like, listen to a press conference. That dude, whether you want to elect him or not, is definitely the mole.
What's going on in my house?
Oh,
I'm going
Mr.
to figure
Cellophane,
something out. I'll be back. You guys proceed without me.
You can steer us while Dominique makes sure that he is not being grand larcenied at the moment.
Mary, you're so polite. You just leave the door open if you're going to steal. Why do you keep closing it and opening it? That's not my show.
Yeah, we can talk about Joe Lacob while you figure that out. He appeared on the Point Forward podcast recently and complained about the luxury tax that he has to pay, and it's only going to get
bigger
going forwards.
Speaking of grand larceny...
Yes, and does Joe Lacob have a point about the luxury tax being unfair?
I mean, luxury tax.
You think Evan Turner's already regretting being part of this podcast because he's sort of fallen under the cracks? It's just Andre Iguodala's name that gets thrown around all the time.
It really is. I feel you.
Underrated.
I feel you, Evan Turner. But he tells them, right, that like, yes, The luxury tax is very unfair. He gets fined $500,000.
And text him for talking taxes.
Yeah, just a tax on tax talk. And what this does is, I think, a couple of things. Is show you how serious the NBA is about, like, the luxury tax and why they want it. But we should talk about why they want it, actually, Izzy, because for people who don't understand this, like, I think it's very logical for Joe Lacob to be resentful of the luxury tax. But the reason the NBA wants it is for a very established reason that they are not very they're not vague about this at all. We know why they want this.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep your owners under control. Otherwise, they would spend out the wazoo. And I think I've said that before on the show, and somebody sort of mocked me for using that term
the wazoo.
At such a young age. Out the wazoo.
The wazoo bowl. Yeah.
that had to have been a real one, right? But here, well, like, cutting through all the Joe Lacob stuff, like, I understand, you know, there's the rule there. They're not breaking any rules. They're repeating a tax, and they're paying more in penalties, I believe, than they are in actual salaries. So, you know, they've got to fix that, all that stuff. But I think the biggest sort of beef that he would have is, hey, if I can do a great job drafting when I'm drafting in the, you know, first through number one through 20 range and can get, like, somehow five franchise players, like, why am I penalized that much just for keeping my guys, my homegrown guys? And I know we have the Larry Bird rule, that, you know, but it still works against the tax. And so I'm getting penalized for keeping my guys. And this is probably the closest thing there is to that, with their core of three being Draymond, Clay, and Steph, all drafted by the organization. So there, I could see, if you really want to get down to the sort of nitty gritty of it, there's another old term. You should probably discuss that and how to adjust that. Because that's not only going to, you know, settle this problem a little bit for a team like the Warriors, but it's going to keep, you know, maybe franchises, small market franchises, keeping their guys. Because it's like, hey, we can keep, as long as we do our jobs, we can win with you guys. We just got to, because we get these luxuries, if you will, of allowing to pay, letting, you know, paying you a little bit more without being penalized. So that's the thing that I think they really need to take a look at.
Go ahead, Dominique. Go ahead.
This is interesting for a few different reasons to me. One, the relationship between owners and players in basketball is unique, and the lines are blurred there more than anywhere else. So, like, negotiations there can be incredibly messy, because my guess is LeBron James' interests are more aligned with, like, team owners than they are with his players. And some of the players' interests are more in line with Joe Lacob than they are with the fellow owners. So it makes for interesting strategies. And they also are so, like, their relationships are so tight, and that you see owners and players, like, hanging out and partying together and popping on each other's podcasts. Like,
you know, I never thought about this. You're right. This does not happen in other sports.
Yeah. I mean, Tyreek Hill has a podcast, and I don't see anybody popping on there.
Stephen Ross. Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen Ross, the beautiful builder of that great portion of New York. Builder of a lot of really awesome things that are not fair. But anyway, it's a whole nother conversation. The all that to me is very interesting. But I think Joe Lacob misunderstands the point of the luxury tax if he's out here touting how well he drafted or being confused about how it's unfair. The point of luxury tax, like, they will shape it as, like, we want to keep it so that there's league parity, or say stuff like that. We don't want one team buying all the talent. That's not the point. The point is what Izzy said earlier. The point is, we want to make more money, and we do not want to be in a situation where we're in an arms race, like, which happens in European soccer often, where you, like, spend your team into bankruptcy because you're in competition with Real Madrid, or you're in competition with
the Saudi Arabian government funding Newcastle.
Yes. Well, Newcastle hasn't come around yet, but I'm sure they will eventually. So that, I don't know. It just is, I don't have, like, a definitive statement other than all of these dynamics are interesting, and there's something that it's something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, no, I think the luxury tax question, right, what Joe Lacob's arguing here is that, and this is his case against the NBA, right? You guys want players to stick with the teams that drafted them, right? You guys complain about player movement, player empowerment. Well, guess what? We have all of these homegrown dudes, as Izzy was alluding to, who have become stars, and we can't keep them because you're preventing us from keeping them by making the penalties so severe that we can't possibly afford all of it. And that's what he's saying, is like, hey, let us get some relief from these penalties and you can actually have something like the sport that you say you want. The issue, of course, is that Joe Lacob, Mr. Light Years, is actually the exception in some ways that illustrates the rule, which is that he is just, I mean, this is where, like, you got to tip your cap to the Warriors, right? Like, if you were to change the rules to allow the Warriors to pay for all of their homegrown players, maybe in a general sense, that would incentivize other teams to keep theirs. But no one is drafting as well as they are or have. And so the question of, like, does this actually result in anything like a system that enables what Joe Lacob is saying the NBA wants and should want? It mostly results in the Warriors having an easier time because they happen to be the one team that did it that way.
I think I love that, and I'm just talking myself into the idea more and more of sort of rewarding the teams that do that, because you can convince these small market teams, you can build an entire personality on that. Like Indiana, where basketball was born, like, could be that team. Hey, let's buy into this. It's not, we're not going to get penalized down the road. Let's make sure we do our work and let's develop these players and let them be as great as possible, because we're not going to fear them going somewhere else. I think that's probably the best way to do that, to sort of get away or to counter that idea of player empowerment and wanting to go to the big cities every time.
I mean, Oklahoma City would have been pretty good. They've done a good job drafting.
San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio's done a good job drafting. I mean, the fear that getting in a situation like that for the players is I honestly think the players might like it better now, even if they have a chance to make more money, or at least the star players with some power, even if they have a chance to make more money staying in their location or even building up a better team around them, is you then have little leverage to leave and you have to trust that your organization is going to do right by you. That's the one benefit of player movement or player empowerment that we kind of dismiss, is that there is the teams are forced to have their interests more aligned with the fans because the superstars are on a similar timeline with the fans, where it's like, we got to win. And you don't end
up. If you're drafted in the top 15, you get a one-year out clause. If you decide after 1 year that that organization is not for you, you re-enter the draft and try again.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
But after that 1 year, you're committed for six more.
That's outstanding. Get them in there. Why you waste your time here? Go talk these CBA fools into doing the right thing.
I do like the idea of building in allowances to keep players that you drafted that don't count against luxury tax. I do think there's a compromise solution here, but I'm realizing that Mr. Cellophane's question was far more blunt than any of the nuance you've been trying to inject into this, right? His question was, does Joe Lacob have a point about the luxury tax being unfair? Yes. The luxury tax as a concept, as Dominique was saying, is a paternalistic thing that is only serving to restrict spending because nobody trusts billionaires, apparently, to spend freely in sports, even though they do it elsewhere, everywhere, all the time.
And then to carry it over from 1 year to the next. Like, it's not just one season win a championship. No, no. Now I'm going to penalize you for doing it again the next season because you're supposed to, what, just cut off all the winning? Like, just lop off all the expensive stuff and get back under the tax again? Like, how is that maintained?
Maybe,
like, it's not sustainable.
Maybe if you make it to the finals, then your luxury tax bill is absolved because it worked.
Game 7 of a conference finals would be intense. Can you imagine Ballmer?
I don't think he would care. I don't think he would care anymore. He wouldn't care anymore than he already cares, because the money doesn't matter to him. He's already done. Now let's talk about, like, the
buses.
Houston guy? The buses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be weird. Anybody
who says we're a family business, quote unquote. I want a camera right on them.
And a heart rate monitor. I want a heart rate monitor.
Yes.
See, I mean, we might need a heart rate monitor just in case, to keep some of these people in mind, just in case their heart goes into arrest because of the stress.
God. There's a televised basketball tournament where the winner of it split $1 million. In this case, you're talking about an owner in one game potentially winning, like, what, $40 to $60 million in penalties? Man, that would be intense.
Because the luxury tax, and let's keep in mind too, right? The luxury tax is also this redistributive socialist enterprise, right? Because what do they do with all of the money that they accumulate via taxes? They send it to the teams that don't spend. right? And so so the notion of like, here is game seven and on the line is the redistribution of wealth in this way. Like, there are no, like, the negative externalities here are actually pretty minimal. Like, to me, it's all about like, no, you guys figured this out yourselves. Like, here's how you want to actually be good. Be good.
Yeah. I mean, I generally hate the idea of incentivizing people to stink. So like, I understand the point of like having a draft and reverse ordering it, but it's stupid for a number of reasons. But why are we giving people money who have money but choose not to spend it? Like,
yes.
I don't know. They're trying to create economic disruption, a recession inside the NBA is what they're trying to do. Because you give the money to the people that are going to spend it, not to the people that are going to hold on to it.
Yeah, you guys are propping up all these broke boys, Mr. Cellophane. Mr. Cellophane is
he at your front door? Because I don't think that was
is Mr. Cellophane robbing through. You, Mr. Cellophane? What do you have to say for yourself? Where are we?
It was not an inside job. I was just enjoying this great conversation that you guys were having.
Thank you.
By talking over us.
Well, now I am. we can move on and do one quick. What are the chances?
Okay.
And we have video from Grant Williams talking about the finals, and with our question is, what are the chances of Grant Williams of being more honest than he is salty?
I'm gonna need you to give us a check mark for the Warriors. It just minor OCD is like, we did a good job on that topic and you didn't check it. Thank you. All right, now
thank you,
Grant
Pablo just did a very good Brian Windhorst right there with the
play the video.
Grant Williams, show the video.
When I reflected and looked back to those games, like, I still will say confidently to this day, they weren't the better team. You know what I mean? Like,
Golden State was not the better team.
Yeah, I would say that confidently. I would say they were a more disciplined team.
I mean,
has the salt.
Extraordinary amounts of salt, but also he clearly has names in mind that he is not saying. Yeah. And there are some people that you could criticize, Izzy. There are some people you could fairly criticize. Honestly,
it's a skill, though. Like, you have to stay with Steph and the Warriors over the course of a 7-game series. In the 4th playoff series that you happen to have played, in the triple-figure game that you have played, like, yes, that's what makes him and that team more difficult to play against in a 7-game series than some of these others. You've got to be disciplined for the entirety of it. They don't probably have to do that as much when they know Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown's getting the ball and what they're going to do with it. So, no, this doesn't really work for Grant Williams. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's just about word choice. I think more talented, I think he's probably right. Better, no. You can't say you're better when you lose in a series. You just can't. You're not better. No. You lost in the 7-game
series. Steph Curry retires 10 years after, he might be a top 3 player of all time. I don't know if the Warriors, I don't know if the Celtics were more talented.
Thank you, Corona.
It's just too little too late, and by that I mean podcasts. You could have been doing this podcast during the finals, as Draymond did.
Yeah, true. He would have played so much better if he had been podcasting.
Yes. You didn't give us these podcasts.
Oh, how was Steph last night on the ESPYs? I didn't watch because you know we are sworn enemies.
Oh, wow. Mr. Cellophane with the big thumbs down.
Ooh, I love Celly. Celly's
my
guy.
How many more hosting jobs is Steph Curry going to get? And Mr. Cellophane did the Dominique Foxworth.
Oh, man.
He said this many gigs.
Thank you. Presented by Corona. Did we say...